Well, last time on Wednesday night, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the voice of God, right? You know, and sometimes his voice doesn't sound like what we want it to sound like. When Jesus talked to his disciples, sometimes they didn't want to hear that. How is it that you have no faith? Oh boy. I remember one guy said Jesus came into his room. He was praying. Jesus walked into his room. He says, you're in the flesh. Turned around and walked out. I was like, wow, that's not a good visit. I knew I was in the flesh, but how am I in the flesh right now, Lord? Yes, I am. I'm here in this flesh, but praise the Lord. But we know that we face certain things in our flesh, don't we? A lot of things that we blame on the devil is really just our own flesh. Hallelujah. So anyhow, Galatians, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I'll start there tonight. Galatians 5. Verse 16. But we did come around last time. We can all hear from God. How many are listening to your spirit? Amen. Listening to that inward man. You know, he'll talk to you. Just like you know when you're hungry, you know when he's talking to you. Sometimes we say we don't, but we do. Sometimes we know he is, and we're like, Lord, I don't know if I want to listen to that. But we come around. How many come around? Sometimes we have to come around. Amen. Because he won't stop till he gets it across to you. He's faithful. He'll get it to you if you'll keep seeking him. If you'll keep going back to that place of prayer. Amen. All right. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Hallelujah. How many know that the flesh gives us trouble? Amen. You know, I mean, he's saying here, the Holy Spirit saying, I advise you to obey the Holy Spirit, to listen to your heart. Obey him. Obey his instructions. He'll tell us where to go and what to do. And I mean, we're not always doing the wrong thing, are we? Amen. We're not. But when we are, he lets us know and he gets us going to the truth. I mean, our flesh, our natural man, this natural body, it just naturally seems to want to do evil things. I mean, if you let the natural man have its way, you're going to be doing all sorts of things. That's the trouble with him. He's still alive, yet we have to, what the Bible says, consider him dead. Consider him dead. In other words, he's not going to benefit you. You cannot trust your flesh one iota. Because how many knows your flesh lies to you? You say, well, how do you know? You ever started a fast? Have anybody here ever started a fast? Yeah. You know, and he says, oh, I tell you what, just one of those little, you know, one of those little McDonald hamburgers, I'll be happy. You know, you got one of those little, just one of them little ones, you know. The cheap one, what is it, $2.25 or something now or something like that. Or maybe it's a Burger King, a little, you know, just a little one where they put a little ketchup mustard on it and you eat it. So you get one and He lied to you. He wasn't satisfied. It just wasn't enough, was it? So you go back around and I'll take the big Whopper. I'll take the shake. Do you want a pie to go with that? No, not right now. You go around and pay for your order and then you drive back around. Give me one of those pies too. Well, make it two pies. You know, your flesh lies to you, doesn't it? It says, well, I'll be satisfied with that. It'll be enough. But when we give in to our flesh, it likes to try to take advantage of us. And so we have to do something with it. It fights our spirit. It fights us. Anybody ever been in that fight? You know, I know we don't war against flesh and blood, but we do war against our fleshly body and our fleshly mind. I mean, you know, your mind gets in there too. It's got to be renewed, doesn't it? It hasn't been perfected yet. I don't know about your mind, but if you let it go far enough, it'll go wherever, you know, it'll take you all kinds of places if you're not careful. Especially in today's world. You know, you ever see one of those commercials? You know, they'll show 10 or 15 seconds of a movie and you're like, next thing you think, boy, that looks like a pretty good movie. You're looking up, I wonder where it's near, theaters near me, and you're looking up for theaters near you, and you know, you're trying to figure out, hey, that looked pretty good until you saw some of the rest of it. Amen. Your flesh still saying, well, maybe we should go see that. Nothing wrong with going to a movie, but there's not very many good ones out right now that I've seen. I'm sorry, but I would watch personally. Every once in a while they come out with something halfway decent, but there's not a lot of good movies out there. Very few have been coming out. So anyway, most of the problems that we face that Christian and that we sometimes, that as Christians, we blame on the devil are actually being produced by yielding to our own unregenerated flesh. Not all, but many, many problems. Well, don't get me wrong. We have a devil. He'll chime in when he can. You know, if he sees an opportunity, he'll chime in. He'll help your flesh. But isn't that what he uses? He uses what? Our thoughts. And he deceives. The Bible says he's a great deceiver. And really, he can't make you and I do anything, but he has studied mankind for how long? Several thousand years now, you know, close to six or 7,000 years almost, 6,000 years at least plus. And he's studied mankind and he has some ideas of what might get you thinking down a certain path. And if we don't do something about it, it can destroy us or take us the wrong directions. Amen. Now here's something to think about. I'll just throw it out there. I was thinking about this because I was looking through the Bible. You know, after Jesus' ascension, I didn't see one place anywhere in the Bible where they cast the devil out of a Christian. Now there were some non-Christians and some people that were in witchcraft and so forth, but I don't see him casting the devil out of the Christian. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 4 and 5, let's take a look at that for a minute. Verse 4 and 5. Now here's a pretty serious sin. And we see the man here that's with his father's wife. And what did Paul say? He said, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up of life. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Wrong book, sorry. I knew that. Something's not right. 1 Corinthians 5. 4 and 5. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Now here we don't see him suggesting, I think you should cast the spirit of lust out of him. He didn't say that. Now was the devil involved? Maybe. Deceiving him. But he was bound apparently in his own, with his own flesh. He was doing the act. And so here he matter of fact, it says here the devil didn't really have power over him. He said, why did they have to deliver him over to the devil if the devil had so much power over him? See, sometimes we give him too much credit. No, don't get me wrong. He's behind all sin. I know that. We all know that. He deceived Adam and Eve. And I mean, you know, in that sense, he's behind it all, but every sin is not the devil, and that's not because they were possessed of the devil. I mean, I wish it was that easy sometimes. Can you cast that spirit of lust out of me? You know? Well, maybe. And don't get me wrong, be careful. You keep playing around long enough, you may oblige him, and he may come and, you know, you can have whatever you want. If you play around long enough. But he can't just come and possess you. If he could, he'd be possessing all kinds of people. We'd all be dead. They'd be killing us left and right. But he can't. It's not that easy. It's just like submitting yourself to God. You submit to God, he'll come. His power will be resident. It's on the inside of you. So here he says, hey, turn him over to the destruction, what? Of the flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And it's important to notice here the problem was the flesh. And secondly, Satan had no authority over that man hardly at all. Otherwise, they wouldn't find it necessary to turn him over to him in the name of Jesus. They weren't looking for him to be destroyed. They were looking for his soul, his spirit to be saved in the day of the Lord. Amen. So that he would live his life and he would be in heaven. Hallelujah. Forever. He wouldn't be destroyed by this thing, this flesh. Hallelujah. He was just yielding to the flesh. And so a lot of times it hasn't dawned on some people, but we know, we mentioned this last time, Sunday, I think, Colossians 1:13, right? We've been delivered. Who hath, Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're not in the kingdom of Satan, but in the kingdom of God. And Satan has no power. He has no authority over Christians. He can't make us do anything that you do not want to do. If you don't want to do it, he can't make you do it. I remember, matter of fact, I remember Lester Summerall talking about this. There's a little 10-year-old boy. And he went to this parents' house. Now this boy was possessed and he could disappear. He talked to that devil and he learned how to disappear. Parents couldn't find him. He's gone. Well, that's something. Wouldn't that be something? Have a 10-year-old boy that can disappear. So they knew he had a problem and he went over and talked to the boy. Now what does that devil do if you tell him you're not going to do what he says? Oh, he said he just whimpers and cries. Oh, please, please do what I tell, what you tell, what I'm telling you, please. In other words, he didn't have to even obey that devil that was trying to continually possess him. Praise God, he was delivered. He was set free and they were born again. But how many know? He doesn't have all that power over you as you think. He can only cause your destruction by deception. He is to get you to agree with your unborn again flesh. Amen. If we don't agree with it, if we resist it, we can. Oh, we got to remember we're made up of what? Three parts, right? Don't forget that. We have a spirit, soul, and body. We're not just a spirit, but we have a mind, will, intellect, right? Amen. We make decisions. And we have the body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Have you read that verse? I know all the verses you're telling me, Pastor Doug. I know you do. Well, guess what? I'm going to get there. My pages keep sticking together. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He wants us to be blameless in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. How many know? If you yield to certain things in your body, do you understand? I know it. We separate it for definition's sake, but it affects your spirit. It affects your spiritual life. Why? Because it causes you to feel what? Guilty. You feel dirty sometimes. Anybody ever done anything like that? You know? Look at some of the men in here. Maybe you saw something you shouldn't have looked at. Oh Lord, I had a boss and he would try to show me pornography and I'd just have to close my eyes. He'd have the books out, you know, and they're all into pornography and he knew I didn't look at that, but sometimes they try to shove it at me. And I didn't look at it. But you know, there are things that have seen. I remember being, I think I was 9 or 10 and some of the guys that worked for my dad left a little picture on the floor and in the barn, you know, and I more scared me than anything else, to be totally honest with you. I don't want to see that, you know, not really, but how many know? It presents an image to you, makes you feel, sometimes people feel a false peace. Oh, that must be okay. Do you know the enemy can bring you a false peace? You know, your flesh can have a, feels good to the flesh. It likes what it sees. Amen. How many know that's where we get tempted, right? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Amen. These are places that the enemy comes with temptation and uses our flesh against us. And man's natural place a lot of times, or our natural desire, we're more conscious of our body than we are of our spirit sometimes. Anybody ever been there? You know, you're, especially if you get sick, you know, your body kind of comes up to the top, doesn't it? You know, we get a little more conscious when we got a little pain in there and, you know, this is going on, everything aches and you don't feel so good. You feel tired. Your body wears against you. Amen. But other things, sometimes people are more body conscious and soul conscious than they are spirit. And we have to remember, you are not your body. You are not your body, the real you. Now you have a body, but that's not you. Amen. You are a spirit. You have a soul, right? We have a soul, mind, will, emotion, intellect. And we live in a body, but you are not your body. The real you, your spirit man's been born again. Cell for cell, you have a spirit just like you have this body on the inside of you. We also have a soul. We have emotions. Emotions, we think, emotions are just, people say, just ignore it. Anybody here ever try to ignore your emotions? How many know that's so easy? They come back to you, don't they? Yeah. They have to be turned. They have to be changed. That's one reason that worship is so powerful. Because it causes us to get our mind over on the Lord. It forces us, when we force ourselves to think about what we're singing and saying, Lord, I worship you. I magnify you. I said, I worship you. I exalt you. And I make myself think I'm what I'm saying and put my emotion into what I'm saying, my heart into what I say, Lord. And it seems like, it may feel like to your flesh, nothing is happening. But if you'll continue, if you'll be consistent and you'll keep doing that, keep worshiping Him. Holy Spirit, help me. Teach me how to worship. I love you, Lord. I magnify you. I glorify you. Thank you for saving me. I exalt you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. And I on purpose make my mind think on what I'm saying, on the words that I'm putting forth. Bring them out of my heart. I'm so glad you saved me, Lord. Thank you. I want you to know I love you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. We could spend eternity right there. Thank you, Jesus. So glad I'm not the same. I was changed. And our emotions can be turned. And they don't have to stay where they are. We become a reservoir of the love of the Father. And He pours Himself. In a greater measure, we become aware of who He is in us and who we are in Him and His great love that He gave for us. Very important, wonderful to us. But it helps us to overcome those thoughts of the mind. We have to, sometimes it keeps coming, but we have to take authority. We have to stop. No, I'm not thinking on that, Lord. No, on purpose. It may be 10 times in that first 5 minutes. It may be 100 times. It doesn't matter if we'll continue to praise Him and worship Him. And if you just can't get your mind quiet, then keep worshiping Him until it quiets down. It may not be an hour, it may not be two, but eventually it will come into line and your mind will come to peace. It's a guarantee that God gave us. I will inhabit the praises of my people. I will, God said. You understand? That's a guarantee. I will. didn't say I might, he said I will. One of the strongest things that we have, at least in the English language. Sometimes English language, it doesn't have the words that God really gave to us. And we have to kind of amplify it a little more and realize, I will. I guarantee I'm going to come. I'm not withholding from you. So we have a spirit, right? You are a spirit. I am a spirit. You're a spirit. We need to say that to ourselves. Hey, I'm a spirit. Now, there's other people that are spirits too. They're just not born again yet. Their spirit hasn't been changed. They're going to live forever somewhere. And, you know, we need to think about that too. When you're worshiping for you, we can also worship God. Thank you, Father. You're working in so-and-so's life too. I'm trusting you, Father. I know you heard me on that. I want to worship you that you're touching my brother's life. You're drawing him in, Father. I'm trusting you, Lord. Lord, he's heard the word of God. You're working mightily in his life right now. I release the ministering spirits of God, the divine labor, the one he'll listen to. Thank you, Father. You have heard me, Lord, and you are seeing to it. I believe, Father, he will be in heaven with me for all eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I'm believing on this earth he will fulfill all the will of God that he can. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. You're changing things. You're changing circumstance around them. Hallelujah. We begin to worship. How many know worship will help you get that care over on the Lord, amen, where it stays there. See, the thing is about care, we cast our care on the Lord a lot of times. We come to church, did you cast your care? Oh, it's on the Lord, hallelujah. By the time we get home, it wants to come back on us. Anybody ever had that happen? You know, it beat you home, you know. You were driving home and you thought, man, oh, hallelujah, this is so wonderful. By the time you got home and you said, man, what happened? Them cares was waiting for me. But how many know we can leave them with the Lord? Father, I cast that on you. I trust you. I worship you. We can come to the place where it doesn't matter what the circumstance says. The peace of God will be within us. We may have to answer the bills. We may have to answer the calls, but we can do so with the peace of God because we're trusting in what he has said. Glory to God. Our body doesn't have to rule us. Now, the part of us that was recreated at the new birth was what? Our spirit. Our soul is in process of being renewed as it's going to be renewed until what? Until we hear the trump sound. Hallelujah. He said, when's that going to be? When Jesus, when God decides. He knows, even Jesus himself said he doesn't know the day or the hour. But I believe we're getting closer. There are signs of the times. And maybe you're in the world and you think things are going to get all better and they're not. The Bible says the world's going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get more gross darkness in the earth. We haven't seen anything yet, I'm telling you. It's coming. It's a guarantee. In the last days, he said people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure. Unthankful, unholy. Generation, we see some of that. We see it getting worse and worse. Even when I was a kid, it's gotten worse since I was in school, that's for sure. Amen. It was kind of bad in some ways. You know, I mean, we didn't have anything, you know. I don't remember any guns being brought to school, thank God. But sometimes people bring some knives, you know. So-and-so got threatened or something, you know. But praise God, we know that Jesus is still Lord. You know, we didn't, you know, when somebody called you girl when I was in school, that was an insult to the boy, you know. That wasn't saying, you know, that was fighting terms. What do you mean? I ain't no girl. Boy, you better look out. He might just clobber you. He's called somebody that. That's fighting terms. I mean, you know, he might not hit you, but he might. You know, somebody be trying to, hold on, you know, he's bigger. I don't care how big he is. You know, we beat the bullies up sometimes and then they didn't bully us so much. Amen. Maybe it wasn't right, but they sure learned, it seemed. Seemed to do something to them because they weren't quite so bullyish. You know, you get three or four of you together, you can stop that bully. Bless God, and we would sometime. Lord have mercy. I don't know why I got into that, but how we got over there, I don't know. But anyway, it was good anyhow. Your body, but our body, you know, we were saying our spirit, our soul is in the process. We meditate the word of God and pray in the spirit. Amen. But our body is not saved and it's not going to be saved on this earth. Your body's not going to be saved. You're going to have to train it. You know, we can train it to a certain extent. You know, I mean, you know, you can train your flesh a little bit. You know, do certain things, but that don't mean it's going to stay there. It still fights you occasionally. It's still going to test you. It'll rise up, you know. Oh, boy. Well, I thought you said you weren't going to eat any more of that kind of pie. Well, it snuck up on me. He'll get on you and sneak up on you, doesn't it, sometimes? But we have authority over it. We don't have to obey it. We can come to the place where we have victory over it. You know, on a regular basis. And so Paul says that our bodies that we are now, that we have right now, they're corruptible and they're vile. And our hope is that one day we're going to have our glorious one. How many are looking for that day when you get the new body? You know, you're going to get that new body. The dead in Christ will be raised, and we which are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So, well, I don't know. I do know. And I believe that the Bible says we're going to be raptured before the great tribulation. Doesn't mean we're not going to have any tribulation. It's going to get pretty bad before Jesus comes. But I do believe personally, I mean, you don't have to believe it. Most important thing is that you know Jesus is coming back. Amen. Well, I think maybe it's going to be in the middle of tribulation, Pastor. Okay. That's all right. I won't be ready. How many are going to be ready? You're going to have oil in your lamp, amen, in your body, in your life. That means the Holy Ghost. You're going to have the presence of God, the power of God. You're going to keep having enough, amen. Glory to God. We're not going to wait till it's too late. Keep ourselves ready. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:21. Philippians chapter 3. This is good news. Amen. It's good news tonight, but we have to deal with this body. There are things we have to do. You know, anybody ever know anybody that had that spirit of rage on them? You know, that's a spirit. That's a part of their flesh. It rises up. Anger, says fits of anger, right? Fits of rage. It's all in the flesh. They've taught themselves to get angry. No, I mean, you know, if you're not saved, you understand that, but how many ever seen a Christian get angry? Oh, maybe you got angry. I've gotten angry a few times. You know, after I got angry, the funny thing was I never did lead the guy to Jesus. Oh, it means I'm probably not going to ever be a witness to him. I'm going to have to believe for different labor because I done blew my witness. You know, I remember Lisa and I, we got a new car. Well, I wish we hadn't bought it, but anyway, we bought a new car because we had to establish good credit, you know. Of course, we went to a good Christian man who helped us get that good deal. You know, somehow the numbers just worked out. Brother, I put the numbers in, they just worked out, you know. 15% interest rate. You got the new rate, 15%. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Dear Lord, have mercy. I mean, that was only like 4 years we had to pay on, but nowadays they put them out to what, 6 or some of them 8, I think even. Dear Jesus, I'm like, whoo, who wants to pay like for a house, for a car? Dear God, have mercy. Anyway, I don't know how we got on that, but oh, I lost my temper because they said it's covered bumper to bumper. You know, you got the warranty, right? Oh my Lord, I don't know why I bought that warranty, but we did. So one of the tires blew out. New car, pretty new still. Took it back up there and I let him know what I thought. And guess what? He let me know what I didn't do. How many know it's always covered a bumper to bumper, you know? Yes, Mr. Zessa, but you didn't buy the tire warranty. That was $8 more. $8. Yes. So the tires are not covered. I'm sorry, Mr. Zanstra. Well, it should be. You said bumper to bumper, 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 bumper. You know, gave him a piece of my mind, you know. I learned it. I came by it honestly. I learned it from my father. Tell him off, you know, that'll do it. It never did work. It never has worked. Bless God. If I just believed God, maybe I'd had some. What's that? Yeah, you know. Anyway, it made my flesh feel better anyway, you know. Then you hear Pastor Dave, well, did you lead him to Jesus after that? Did you tell him about the Lord? Not really, no. No, I didn't. You know, but anyway. It doesn't work, does it? The flesh does not produce life in the spirit. And when we yield to the flesh, it usually leaves us in a fleshly mess. Just ask Abraham and Sarah. They had a bright idea one day. Here you go, Abraham. You can, you know, make love to my maid here, my servant girl here. That'll take care of things. We're still seeing trouble today from that very problem, from one act, create an Ishmael. So we have to be careful. The flesh can bring terrible problems. Amen. How many know, you know, if you're a young lady or a young man, you know, oh, it was just one night. We just had, you know, a little too much to drink and, you know, she got pregnant. How many know that's going to change her life and your life? There are consequences to sin. And we have to live with them. You know, the Bible says some sins follow us. Well, what do you mean it follows you? Well, I mean, you know, you're going to have a child for a long time now, rest of your life. You're going to have to care for that child. But anyway, but we're coming to a day, Philippians 3, verse 21. I've got my verses right. Thank you, Jesus. Read the right one first time, right? That's one good thing. You know, if you read the wrong verse, it's not bad. You know, you just turn over and read the right one. Philippians 3, 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, glory to God. What a great day that's going to be. Amen. We will get rid of this body one day, but while we're on the verse, until that time, there's a problem. We have to deal with this body, amen? And it's always going to want to do things that aren't right, evil things. It's probably never going to be too excited about you doing anything spiritual like prayer, right? Your body doesn't get real excited about prayer. But how many know if you discipline it long enough? Amen. It's got to come along. It doesn't want to confess the word. You know, well, you know, you're not feeling too good. You should get some scriptures out. Yeah, I know. I need to work on that. Confess the word of God. How many ever read your Bible? Get your Bible out. And it gave you insomnia just like that. Just seemed like you can read anything else, but get your Bible out. You start getting sleepy. Hallelujah. You might have to find your place where you can walk and read your Bible, you know, get on the edge. And I remember Brother Copeland said one time he would stand up on his bathtub because he would keep going to sleep when he read his Bible. He'd get up on his bathtub and start reading. Maybe you have to turn the heat down or go outside the cold. Keep yourself from going to sleep. Whatever it takes, we need to get a hold of the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes our body doesn't want to do those things. It doesn't want to fast. It doesn't. Maybe your body doesn't want to forgive your emotions, your fleshly emotions. I know there's times, you know, especially sometimes it's not even you, but maybe you took offense for somebody else. Ooh. You know, especially if it's a child of yours or something, it's not as easy to forgive sometimes, amen? Maybe they forgave, but how many ever seen that, you know? Kids already made up, the parents are still at odds. Well, what their kid did to my kid, that shouldn't be. You know, their kids are out in the backyard playing, you know. Or, you know, maybe it's next door, you know, and they're on the fence. You know, Mom won't let me come over. Hallelujah. The flesh can trouble us. And it's not going to want to do those things, but our intellect, our will, our emotions, our soul, in other words, are being renewed, and our body is just, it's just there along for the ride. It has to be controlled and kept under subjection to the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God. We have to decide. I must keep my body what? Under. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't have power over us. We've been changed. We have a new nature. We have power over it. Amen. Let's go to Romans for a minute. Well, yeah, let's go to Romans just for a minute. Romans chapter 8. Maybe I haven't taught enough from there yet, but we will. We'll get there some more. Hallelujah. Romans 8 says this, as verse 10 says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, your body, even God said, I can't do a lot with it. I count that body to be dead. Now on the, back up just a couple of chapters there. He says in Romans 6, Well, let's look here. Let's look at verse 14, and we'll read through 16 here. It says, but 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of darkness which delivered you. But you're servants to whom you obey. We're servants to our flesh if we obey the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, it's true. You know, you keep obeying the flesh, we can become a servant to that. All right. But if we are led, Galatians 5:18 said, but if ye be led by the Spirit, we're not under law. We listen to the Holy Spirit, we obey the Holy Spirit, and we don't obey our body. Amen. We say, hey, I'm not going to obey you, body. You listen to me. We're going to prayer. We're going to spend some time reading the Word of God. We're going to have some time worshiping God. We're going to spend some time fasting. Today we're not going to have lunch. Now, for some people that's easy. You know, but we find other things that maybe it's not so easy. Maybe they find it difficult to worship God. But if you'll keep worshiping, you can bring yourself under subjection. Hallelujah. Bring this body under control. Because you are a spirit. Our soul is being renewed, but our body, it has to obey us. We can't just let it do whatever. I mean, you know, if you let it go far enough, that's why people commit murder. Their body was involved in that, you know. It wasn't just their mind, their thought. First it comes what? Thoughts, right? But if we take our thoughts captive, then they can't destroy us. They can't bring us to that place. You know, somebody could be saved, but if they think on it long enough and kill somebody, they're still going to jail. It's going to hinder their walk with God. I mean, they're stuck somewhere for quite a while, maybe their whole life. Amen. Well, what is it? 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look there a minute. Where we take authority over our thoughts. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. We can take authority over those thoughts. Thoughts don't have to stay in our mind. We don't have to obey every desire of the body. But we can obey and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the Bible says. The flesh may war against our spirit, but how many know we can win? It cannot ultimately defeat us unless we would yield to it. It's really up to us. Really, we have to listen, realize, hey, everybody, let's all say that. I am a spirit. My spirit rules me. I live out of my spirit and not my soul or my flesh. I, me, the real me, renew my mind to the Word of God. And I obey. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Because we can. We have authority over us, ourselves. Sometimes we're our own, you know, our body. wants to tell us otherwise. Amen. And the enemy uses our mind, our soul. We know he does. But we don't have to give in to it. Amen. We can walk free. Isn't that good news? And one day we're going to be completely free when we get that glorious body. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to do some backflips. I'm going to do all kinds of things in heaven. They'll probably see me, you know. Where's Pastor Doug? He's climbing that mountain over there. Bless God. What's he going up there for? He said he wants to get a better view of the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Well, glory. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that Lord, we are a spirit. We are being renewed in our soul, and we don't have to obey everything our body tries to tell us, Lord. We thank you that we have authority in this earth and in this life. And that, Lord, we can bring glory to you in our body, Father. You said that our body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for our body. And we thank you, Lord God, when we present it, a living sacrifice to you, that you will help us to walk with you and overcome every desire that tries to take us away from walking with you. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise and glory for it. Amen and amen.